said that I violated a court order by putting in there quotes from Robert Furr, who was my attorney that I recorded and fired.
Wait, Robert Furr was your attorney?
He was my attorney.
Okay. You want to hear a great story about Robert Furr?
Very quick.
Very quick. 25 years ago, when my entire fucking nightmare started, where they were, my lawyers were stealing my patents, they had a complex scheme where they opened dual name companies to my own, and they had a bankruptcy going and involuntary in the Southern District of Florida with a guy, Robert Furr, who nobody'd ever heard of. We had no idea, the company, the board, the people not involved in the frauds, the lawyers and their friends that were in the company, but nobody else, including Warner Brothers, people, I'm giving out a private placement for $25 million. I'm soliciting funds from AOL.
Just give me the facts.
Okay, so AOL says to me, hey, asshole, you just gave us a Wachovia private placement memorandum. You forgot to say you're in an involuntary bankruptcy and a lawsuit with your lawyers over fees for some millions of dollars. I said, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Then he said the Whopper. He said, that old man from IBM who gave me the patents, I went down to the patent office, and those aren't the patents on file.
What about Robert Furr? Just tell me about
Robert Furr was running an illegal bankruptcy on my companies. So the minute we found out it was true, we went into the bankruptcy, and they ran. They flew out of there faster than you could say speed of light. You can look up my company. I view it. In the bankruptcy, it's still there.
What did Robert Furr do? Just tell me.
I just told you. He was running an illegal bankruptcy against companies that were named similar to mine, but were registered in different states. They were identically named. I mean, it was an amazing scam that only lawyers could have done. But he was in there representing the employees who were aiding and abetting the theft of my patents. This started my whole fucking nightmare in life with courts. So in the
I recorded his conversation.
Yeah, I saw that.
During the bar proceeding, the judge said that she wanted a copy of it. She wanted to know who was telling the truth, me or Robert. So she wrote to Kimball, who refused to give her a copy of it.
What?
Kimball, during the criminal investigation, he sealed the recording, even though he's not he has no criminal jurisdiction.
Right.
To prevent the FBI and everybody else from getting the tape recording. But it's pretty clear that they didn't want to go ahead with the investigation because the FBI could have gone and got it if they wanted to. But that would have meant that there would be thousands of cases that the court would have had to look at all over again over a 10-year period.
Yeah, they should, because he's a criminal.
So, what's the judgment before the 25th?
What?
Is that
going to
go in our favor?
Yeah. My wife was asking if we pay the judgment against us in the state court, the fraudulent one, does this go away, kind of, the sanctions?
I'm not sure they would go away.
It'd make it a lot harder for him to make him stick that we came in with bad intent. You know?
Well, the question is whether or not you filed a petition where there was perjury. That's what he's going to go after you for.
Oh, I'm okay with that. We didn't perjure anything.
Okay. I mean, the question was there three trusts that owned it, or, you know,
There were three trusts.
I only have certain information.
No, but you're right. There were three trusts that did own it. A judge burned those trusts, and that's a whole other set of frauds that occurred to us in the courts.
What you need to do is you need to file those motions separately.
Yeah.
If you're all involved in a bankruptcy, and ask for the public defender.
For all, each one of us separately?
They'll sign four of them.
Okay.
And then they'll work together to get whatever you need to have done.
Okay. And he's not going to want to put criminal investigators in this, I wouldn't think, especially where his crime was exposed first.
What's his crime?
Allowing a dead man to move the court.
He didn't do anything.
He failed to report it when he learned, and that's a problem.
Well, what he's saying is he didn't know whether it was true or not.
He had a lawyer tell him, not Elliot Bernstein.
Well,
That's
yeah, called. Yeah, lawyers tell him everything. Every day, lawyers tell him something.
But then it was proven that the dead man was operating in the court for all those months.
Who put the dead man into the court?
Bradley Schreiber, 2 years after he's dead.
So you have to go after that. You've got to make a motion for the court to refer Bradley Sasher, the United States Attorney's Office, for fraud.
Okay.
See what he does.
Okay. Yep. Yep. And
he's going to say that he can't file charges, but he can refer a case.
Yeah, so we asked to refer it.
And listen, as long as you put it in court papers, it's not defamatory. Okay? But if you say it outside the court papers, you can get sued about this stuff. So if you want to say something bad, put it in the court papers.
Okay.
File it in court.
Yeah, I usually do.
But if you go on the radio and you tell people Bradley's a liar and a crook and everything, you're liable to get sued.
I put all that in the papers.
It doesn't make any difference. You got to be careful. They're all going to protect each other.
Yep.
Nobody's going to protect you.
Yep. Yep. It's just more...
I mean, let's face it, they've been working together for 10 or 15 years.
Yep.
They approve legal fees without actually knowing if they're true or not. They just give everything.
Yep. How did they, so they have stolen $30 million from you?
They appointed a trustee out of Orlando who came in and he told the judge, Mr. Keitel committed a fraud on the court. I want you to issue an order. The judge in state court said, why don't you just go through all Mr. Keitel's motions? He said, no, I want you to issue an order that he committed a fraud. He then took that order and he gave it to the investigators so they would discount my allegations against what was going on. Meanwhile, the chief judge had a 9-hour hearing 6 months earlier, and he found out that the other guy was lying, not me. So it's just typical. Then we found out later on, after he made these allegations, that everything he said was false. That one cost me about $11 million. But I couldn't do anything because I was not allowed to represent myself because theoretically
Companies. The
trustee stepped into my shoes to represent me.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went ahead. This is all in the court filings in New York, but this is what happened.
Wow. Now, let me ask you this. Have you had any luck with criminal authorities? Are you pursuing DOJ?
When I met with the FBI said to me, we haven't requested it. The problem is the U.S. attorney didn't want to do anything. The FBI said, we can't do anything unless the FBI refers it to us.
Right.
I'm the U.S. attorney, and they're not doing anything.
Yeah, well, we see how they do with Epstein, right?
Yeah, it's no different. No different
than Epstein. None. I feel like a rape victim, 14 years old, in this court.
Same thing.
With these people.
Same thing.
All right, well, I see our forces are aligning, and I think we might
have... It makes it difficult for me, because you make these outrageous allegations, and if I'm aligned with you when you're making them, it makes me look bad.
I got it. I heard what you said.
Around. I mean, write down the 10 things you want to say and don't deviate from it.
Got it. Well, next time maybe...
What you start screaming about, he's killing women, he's doing...
Next time I'll ask you for a list.
that's a problem. I mean, you lose all kinds of credibility when you do that stuff.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I know you don't want to hear that, but...
No, I see the value of what you're saying, though.
I mean, listen, I had him constantly accuse me of a conspiracy theory.
Oh, he did that to us, too.
The judge in state court said that the FBI should investigate him for making those outrageous comments when there's plenty of evidence. But that's part of the problem, you know?
Yep.
So we should request public defenders before the 25th?
He sent us a form for it. Okay. Kevin should be working on it. Okay.
Now, that's word. That's just part of it. But it's not going to, you know, you really got to put in the right format and everything.
Well, and then the guy who's been helping me, who you worked with, Kevin Hall, he wanted to talk to you, but he's been...
I don't know who Kevin Hall is. I mean, if I worked with him, I just don't recall.
It was through that Julia Gomez or something Gomez or...
Yeah.
And so, right, but Kevin's a disbarred lawyer out of New York who's been helping pro se victims around the country who are in the same precarious position that we are.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that woman screwed me over. She didn't mean to. She just wasn't confident. I was in Europe. I told her to file a motion. She filed it, but she left off one of the three cases. So I was suspended for not filing an answer, even though in the same two cases, I was given an extension of time. That was the problem. I mean, it was a... they call it a reciprocal order. The Florida Bar filed an order against me, and Kibble filed an order against me. So I answered two of them, but the third one, the actual case number was left off. So that's why my license was suspended.
Oh, well, they're a hit job. Did you see the Arthur Moorberger stuff I sent you?
I don't know if I saw it or not.
Do you know Arthur?
I have so many people sending me so many things.
Do you know Arthur?
No.
Harvard, cum sum laude.
Yeah, but like, is he still alive? He lives up somewhere by
Miami. Alabama? No, he's Miami. He just got... They disbarred him or suspended him. It's pending. They sent some criminal into his office who stole checks out of his safe, who's in jail now. But they did a hit job on this guy the minute he started representing me and showed up at court saying that my kids were served as minors when they were adults. So there was no service on them, technically. And they pulled this hit on him. They got him all over the news. They destroyed him in a minute. Then they did the same thing to Leslie Federicos, who also approached the state court judge and said, this is all fraud. I never gave consent on a final judgment. And it says, you have my consent in the order. You know, you need to change this. Oh, she's hit with a flurry of bar complaints, like 8 or 9 of them, where her paralegal was contracted by a lawyer who they stole her database and started calling people and saying, do you want to file free bar complaints against Leslie? They called me, and my wife was smart enough to tape record it for Leslie, and we caught them doing the whole thing on me on tape.
Yeah, but here's the problem. You know you can't tape record, right?
Well, you know,
that's the problem.
I've been told one thing. My life is in danger. Somebody put a bomb in my car. I'm taping everything. I know, but
I'm going to tell you. That's why Kimball
got
that's
you.
That's why Kimball seized the tape and held it inadmissible because I tape recorded Purr. Even though I said Purr gave me approval, he ruled against me anyway.
Do you have the tape?
Excuse me?
Do you have the tape still?
Yeah.
And if you use it, what happens?
They'll try to charge me with a crime. Oh, no, contempt. Charge me with contempt.
Criminal contempt?
No crime. Nobody's going to go after me for tape recording, but they'll go after me for violating a federal order.
Did I hear something like he was threatening you on the tape or said he could buy off judges? And that he could buy off U.S. attorneys or something?
Fuck you. This is what he said. Fuck you. I'm going to have a trustee appointed tomorrow. You're going to lose all your assets. This is what I'm firing. But that, you know, that's how the system works.
Oh, my God.
He went in and agreed to a sale after I told him not to for $21.5 million in one of my properties. That's what they do. Before I was doing my 1031 exchange, it's cost me $5.5 million in taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Yep, they are an evil beast to fight, that's for sure. I've fought them for years. I've caught them forging documents. The police brought in Robert Spleen, an attorney in town, and he confessed to altering my mother's trust to change the beneficiaries to my brother and his kids who were cut out. Robert Spallina and Donald Tesher, both now disbarred. They were caught in insider trading, which means somebody was following him and taping him because they didn't even put up a defense. It was all tape recording, so somebody's watching them. They both got removed. Brian O'Connell, who's my dad's PR right now, he got...
In Florida, in order to tape record, you need all parties having consent.
Yeah, no, I know. I do know.
Except maybe if it's a child being threatened.
Yeah, and I don't think in public hearings you have to get consent.
Yeah. What you're going to find is that Kimball is going to issue 30 and 40 page opinions. Okay? And he's going to put all the facts in the way he wants them.
Yep.
And it's very hard to appeal because the only appellate thing, unless there's something wrong with the law, is on abuse of discretion, meaning the judge made a mistake on the facts.
Well, I have him on that because after Inger exposed it on the record, the fraud of the dead man, Schraberg ran out and amended his notice of appearance. He put in the notice months before saying he was representing Walter Somm, the dead guy. He went and amended it to say the estate PR Joanna Somm. So that was on June 8th. Well, Kimball starts writing an order. He wrote an order that says, on 5/25, the estate appeared in court with Patricia Somm and Elliot Bernstein. Well, the estate wasn't even in at that point. You know, he's made egregious, I think, errors in his orders that actually make me think he might be lunatic in his mind, but after meeting you, I now see he's very intentional.
No, he's not. He's a very, very bright guy. He doesn't make mistakes.
He made some.
He lies about evidence. He lies about the facts because he wants to put the facts that help either him or his friends. That's what he does.
Yep.
There's no mistake about that.
Yep. Boy, I saw it all. Heidi Feinman lied. Schraberg lied.
Heidi Feinman was being investigated with Robert Spur for corruption. This is, if you look up July 13, 2016, it was the chief judge that ordered the investigation.
Well, let me ask you that. Our friend at the feds in New York told us a few weeks ago to file complaints about this with the chief judges. Should we do that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Beautiful. And you can put in there, Heidi Feinman did something. She previously was accused of corruption and case fixing.
Well, here's what happened in our case. On June 8th, before the hearing, Inger Garcia sent her a message saying, your motion is joined by a dead person, fraud. And she came into that hearing, she ignored the message, she let the dead man continue through the proceeding.
Well, wait a minute, let me ask you a question. Hold on.
Yep.
She filed the motion first, right?
Yep.
And then it was joined by Brad, whatever his name is.
With the dead man, right.
Yeah, well, let me tell you. I have an email from Schutz and Bowen to her in March of 2016, where Schutz and Bowen, they're against me, says, write in the email, Heidi, if you do us a favor and file a motion to dismiss the case, and we'll file a joinder, because coming from you, the court will take it more serious than coming from us. So, Jesus. Here is a law firm of 300 lawyers in Florida asking her for a favor,
right,
to file something so the court will take it more serious, coming from U.S. trustee instead of the people, the other side. Then, a few months later, in October of 2016, well, she's under investigation, both her and Robert Furr. They're being investigated. Now, if you were to look at July 13, 2016, the chief judge, who was Judge Hyman, says to the assistant United States trustee, the Southern District of Florida, orders him to do an investigation into corruption and case fixing, extortion and threats against Feinman and against her. And then he says, you'll have to include me in the investigation as well, because he's reading an email from myself back and forth to the Palm Beach State Attorney's Office about criminal charges against Burr and Feinman. So 2 months later, after he issues that order, Schutz and Bowen gets the transcript of a deposition of Robert Burr and sends it to Heidi Feinman. They're both under investigation. They're not supposed to work together.
Right. Right.
The chief judge says they're not allowed to appear together anymore. They're not allowed, neither of them are allowed to appear before the chief judge until the hearing is concluded, the investigation. Meanwhile, they're sharing depositions back yeah. and forth so they can testify to the same facts the
right.
same way.
Right.
But oh. that's what happens.
Nobody well, wait, is that... Is that, can we go into those same investigators and people with our new claims?
We don't know who investigated. I took her deposition in October. I know, it was September 2nd of 2020. I finally got her deposition. The Florida Bar fought me for almost 2 years to prevent the deposition.
Right.
Told me I couldn't get a deposition of a United States trustee who's a member of the Department of Justice. So I filed multiple motions. Finally, a judge allowed me to do it. But I would say she couldn't answer 60% of the questions because they related to an investigation. It was the investigation ordered against her. So in that, she admitted that she did receive the... What happened is the Department of Justice had to give me discovery. They're the ones that gave me emails from her to Schutz and Bowen. That's why I knew there was something going on. But nobody ever investigated. They don't really care. That's the problem.
Yeah, they no, I've been through it.
They look the other way.
I've been through it.
In this case, that means Brad probably called her and said, can you do me a favor? Can you file a motion for whatever? And I'll join you. So therefore, she had to know, because she had to do her due diligence, to know that that person was dead.
Right.
So therefore, you need to file a bar complaint against
we
them.
Even put in the bankruptcy court
no,
a suggestion of death.
Can
you hold on 1 second? Can I patch in Kevin Hall?
No.
No? Okay.
No. You need to file a bar complaint against her.
Yeah, bar complaints are a joke. But they're a joke.
It's okay. File it against her anyway.
Oh, that she knew he was dead and...
She filed a fraudulent motion on behalf of Brad and filed the same thing. It's only a paragraph. That's all you have to do. Then file the same thing against Brad. File it right away.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
That's all you have to do.
Okay.
It'll start the investigation.
Yep.
It'll put her in a position where she's got a problem.
Yeah.
They might not do anything, but you have to file it.
Okay.
And then file the same complaint, the same two-paragraph complaint with the United States Trustee's Office, the Criminal Division. That's all you have to do. It's in two paragraphs. It's not a big deal.
I got it. I'll send you a copy.
And then I would send it to Clifford White, the director of the Office of the United States Trustee in Washington, D.C., for an investigation as well. CC him.
Okay.
That's all you have to do.
I will do it.
And you can also CC the chief judge of the United States Bankruptcy Court.
Okay.
But this guy, Kevin, can help you produce a 1 or 2 page complaint. That's all it is.
Got it.
You're going to list the bar, Florida bar. She violated this, which is lying to the court. She conspired with Brad, whatever. Here's what they said. The person was dead. They both knew the person was dead. Where they had noticed that they were dead, where they should have known they were dead. You file those and you put them on notice. Now, that could take her off the case right there because it's a conflict of interest.
And what about the judge? Should I file a JQC complaint?
No, because you don't have any reason to.
On Kimball? He knew the guy was dead the whole time. We put it in the papers.
Kimball didn't know. Kimball heard somebody say...
No, we filed a suggestion of death. And he kept going
you
with the...
You have to file the evidence with the court.
I did.
But I didn't read anything where Kimball ever ruled on any of that stuff.
Right. You ignored it as if it didn't exist. It's all in the papers. We put in a suggestion of death, and they kept using the dead guy instead of getting a substitution.
I'm not sure what a suggestion of death even means.
It means that you're notifying the court that a party is dead and that it has to be substituted in the state court. It abates the case till the substitute.
So did you make a motion to vacate?
No.
The proof of claim?
No.
Why not?
I don't even know what that is.
Well, the guy had to put a proof of claim in, right?
He did?
Okay.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Did he do that?
Hold on.
Okay.
Make a motion to vacate the proof of claim and ask the court to file sanctions against Brad, whatever his name is, for filing a fraudulent motion. For knowingly filing a fraudulent motion to defraud the bankruptcy court. That's what you have to do.
Got it. I am all
over
it. But you
gotta file it.
Yep.
And at the same time, I would ask in that small motion, 2 pages, for the court to refer to the United States, to the U.S. Attorney's Office for an investigation on why Brad, with the U.S. trustee Feinman, filed these motions when they knew the person was dead. That's what you do.
Yep.
But yep. You can't start accusing people of everything else.
No,
You have to focus on the issue.
I keep my papers clean. I mean, they've never been able to get me on too much other than with these insane...
but nobody takes you... They don't take you serious when you're going into this stuff.
Oh, they take me pretty serious. 3 judges who handled my probate cases took early retirement. They were the 3 architects of this...
I heard it all.
Yeah.
I heard you tell the whole story.
And that's real. Meaning those are real events. Meaning people got arrested, people confessed to altering documents. Now I can't get it very far because I'm up against everyone in the world, it seems, that's stealing my technologies.
Sure.
And they're mostly lawyers and judges who are involved in the theft.
I understand.
Yeah, no, they're enjoying your $30 million, too. I don't know if you noticed, but the clerk of the bankruptcy court, Randy, wears a $250,000 watch. Where did you get that? Did you have a watch in your bankruptcy?
I don't know if he's got a $250,000 watch or not. How would you know?
Well, I know the Rolex. He's proud of it. I talked to him about
it.
In fact,
it could be fake. Who knows what it is?
Yeah, it could be, but it's probably from somebody's bankruptcy estate.
Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Right, these guys are all, they're poaching off these people they put in guardianships. It's mind-boggling what's going on.
It's worse than these guys that people can do to us. Felony charges?
Yeah, my wife wants to know, what's the maximum sentence that we could receive from Kimball here?
First of all, you don't receive it from Kimball. What Kimball would do is he would find you in contempt or issue sanctions against you, what's issued there. But then he would refer the case to the U.S. Attorney's Office. And they're the ones who would file the charges.
Now, I already filed with the FBI Bankruptcy Fraud Division the letter I sent to Bax. Do you know him by any chance?
I've met him a few times. I do not know him.
What do you think of him?
He's tied in. His father was tied in for 30 years.
Yeah, okay. That's what
They're
I heard.
They're all in the same group.
Yep.
They're all in the same group. They work together.
Yep.
They do favors for each other. They protect each other. Bankruptcy court has always been the worst court for corruption.
Yep. Oh, now it's the probate guardianship.
Well, yeah.
Because they've taken it to a new level of crazy. I mean, I'm telling you, I get cases, I'm getting 20 a week of calls from around the country of people trapped in guardianships. The estates being bled to death, families, so these 2 doctors here.
It happens all the time. You got to stick to what you have now because you have a problem.
Yeah, no, I know.
So I wouldn't waste any time.
I'm on it, my friend. Thank you very much for this session. It was wonderful. I am getting...
Okay, you'll have to file that motion.
Yep. All right, I heard you loud and clear.
I hope so.
Let me get on it.
This is important to you.
I know. I know.
You probably have to file 4 motions.
Yep. One for you.
Make him work for his money.
5 motions. One for my wife, too.
I would file
them. Yeah.
And I would use the terminology, what he said here. Let me get it here. I wrote it down. I believe there is a... If I believe there was a crime that is subject to federal investigation, I will report it as my duty as a member of the Florida Bar. Well, he should have reported it on both Feinman and Brad for filing those fraudulent things, but he never did.
Right.
Sure.
Right. Just totally ignored it, which makes me think he's mentally unstable.
He's not mentally unstable. See, that's the kind of stuff that gets you in trouble.
Oh, I thought that's the stuff that gets him off the case if he's found that he's not cognizant.
Who?
The judge.
See, it makes you sound crazy. I'm telling you, as someone trying to help you, it makes you sound crazy. No one's going to listen to you. What you're going to say is the judge is protecting these lawyers from criminal involvement when he's got the facts. You're not going to say that all this other crazy stuff.
No, I don't. I won't.
Yeah,
I don't write it.
I hear you on the radio. I hear you.
Well, that's where I do say it, but...
It doesn't make any difference. It makes everyone believe that you're the crazy person. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When I deal with these other people, you need to make exact statements about what they've done. When you start saying... You're crazy, you're killing, nobody believes you.
Okay.
I don't want to be associated with
anyone I get
who
it.
Says those things.
I get it. I got the picture.
I don't think you get it.
Well, I do. I think it's great advice. I actually do get it.
But
and I see what you're protecting me against. What?
Tomorrow you're going to say exactly the same thing?
No. I'm going to say just the facts and 5 sentences of the facts.
You need to write down what they've done.
Yeah, I got it.
The judge had knowledge of a criminal activity which was filed by Brad as joinder for the United States trustee Heidi Feinman. Together, they conspired to defraud the court, and Judge Kimball, who had knowledge of it, took no action.
Perfect.
That's exactly what you need to say.
That's my wife's writing it all down.
But when you go on to make all these allegations, everyone runs.
Oh, okay. No, I hear you. I hear you.
The scary part about Kimball is he's a brilliant guy.
Yeah.
Which makes it worse.
Yeah. Very dangerous.
He's corrupt, but he's very, very smart.
Yep.
That's the problem.
I see how he twists things and he builds the records with all kinds of false statements at first.
Listen, I've had people like... what the hell's the guy's name? The guy that owned Palm Beach Polo. I can't think of his name.
Oh,
Glenn Schwab.
Yeah. Glenn Schwab.
I've had him call me. I've had other people
call
me.
Wasn't he your neighbor? Glenn Schwab was my neighbor to my dad.
I've had all these people call me and ask for some information. Their lawyers have called me.
Why?
Because they've been in cases with this guy, Kimball, that want information against them. Kimball set aside Schwab's first $39 million mortgage on the Palm Beach Hotel. By the time he got to appeal to the 11th Circuit, the money was already sent. So the 11th Circuit said there's nothing to appeal anymore. It's a moot issue.
Oh, God.
So Glenn lost $39 million. And I read the opinion from Kimball, and it's the exact kind of opinions written against me. 40 pages of attacking the person, so it's very difficult to overcome. That's what Kimball does.
Yep. Pattern and practice.
I filed a motion to dismiss Kimball, and I put in there the transcripts from the tapes, which he he sealed. So he held me in contempt for doing it, and I put in there, absolutely, unequivocally, is a liar. Here's the tape. Here's what was said. This is what he said. So he struck it off from the court record.
Yeah, he's good at that. I see him striking.
But every motion I filed after that, I said Judge Tingle is an absolute, unequivocal liar. And if he wants to dispute it, he can. There's the transcripts. But you can't beat him because the appellate courts aren't going to do anything.
And then they disbarred you.
For disparaging judges.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have a First Amendment right as a lawyer to disparage a judge.
Well, they did that with a woman, Deborah Roklin, who testified against Judge Jindin in Miami, that she put in a motion to represent a ward, and he called her on the way out the door and threatened, I'll destroy you, you'll have bar complaint by tomorrow morning if you don't withdraw this.
All she had to do was file a complaint with the...
Oh, she did that, so here's what happened. She goes into federal court in another case, is brought in as a witness, testifies to it. She walks out the door, and Jorge Labarga himself personally did a bar complaint against her for just what you just said, disparaging remarks against a judge.
Well, you can do it in your testimony. You can't do it in court papers and everything else. That's the problem.
The problem is we need a cop who arrests dirty judges and lawyers and tries them finally. This self-regulation shit's the biggest joke ever.
Oh, it's a joke. It's a
complete fucking joke.
If they would put regular people on there instead of just lawyers,
right,
judges,
right,
more,
right,
a lot more investigation.
It's a protection racket. Listen, I'll tell you one day when we get together the story about the whistleblower from the disciplinary department in New York that my RICO was related to. She blew the whistle in federal court that described why no lawyers or judges' complaints are even being reviewed, how they're destroyed, how calls are made to the U.S. attorney, to the DA, to all these people, and you're blackballed. You can't get anybody to talk to you to investigate nothing. It led to the chief counsel of the First Department of New York, after his testimony in that case, jumping off and resigning.
Yeah.
Thank God, because he was as dirty as they come. But I suggest...
But nothing changes.
Well, no, a lot of things did. We knocked out two of the three most powerful men in New York and got them jailed. We're working on the third, Andrew Cuomo. They were the ones that were fixing all these dirty judges in.
Well, when you say you got them thrown off, there was an investigation against him on multiple charges, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So how did you get them thrown off?
Well, the work we did with the Moreland Commission, we were invited into the Moreland Commission, all of the related cases to the whistleblower, and we gave in all our information, and when it came back that it was against Cuomo, who started the Moreland Commission, he suddenly shuttered it, but yet Parip Bharara from the U.S. Attorney swept in and grabbed all the files before he could shred them all. And start.
So what you need to say is you need to say you gave testimony that helped.
Yes.
But when you try to take credit for it, people don't believe you.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you?
Well, a lot of people for years, when I was saying we're going to take down the three men in a room in New York, laughed at me, like you're saying, and said, yeah, snowball's chance in hell. Now that it's happened, they're not saying that. The three judges I knocked out in, however
you
want to phrase
out.
It, I helped.
Evidence.
Right.
See, when you say that you knocked out, people look and they say, well, there's no evidence you did anything. So you need to use, I keep telling you, if you don't use the right terminology, nobody's ever going to believe you.
Yeah. Well, I usually give the evidence and very little comment other than whatever Kevin puts in there. But I'm pretty evidence-based. I mean, I don't make accusations I can't prove against these people. That's why, none of them have... They what?
So they're not going to listen to anything that's longer than 2 minutes.
No,
So when you start saying that they're going to long expect explanation, people aren't going to listen. Like on the other night when this one guy got on with an accent. I mean, first of all, it was hard for me to understand him. Second of all, he went on way too long.
Yes, we all agree. He put people to sleep.
You need 4 minutes or 3 minutes.
Yes.
And you need a script. And if you don't have it, you can't do anything.
That'll be good.
It's a waste of time.
No, I'll do a script next time. That's a great idea.
Can we request a public defender?
You've got to get yours down to the sound box, just like any politician.
Right. Before or after?
He's saying do that now, those five.
Yeah, you should have five sound bites.
No, no, my wife's my wife's talking about your five filings that we should do for public defender.
Yeah.
And he sent us a sample.
He
sent us a sample that he kind of filled in and left us with the blank blanks. Okay. And so I'll have Kevin look at that and get it. And I'll get you a draft of it before we send it.
Just take my name off everything. I can't help you in the sense that if Kimball finds out, he's going to double down on you.
Yeah. No, I know. I hear you loud and clear.
It would be a major mistake to have my name on anything connected with Kimball.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
I accused Kimball in January. He went ahead and tried to hold a hearing to hold me in contempt.
Again?
In January of this year. My bankruptcy was over a year and a half before that. He got the U.S. trustee filed a motion on behalf of Schutz and Bowe and other people. I said to Kimball, this is bullshit. I said, you have no jurisdiction over me. He had the hearing anyway. He made all these derogatory remarks, ignored my cases, which were both 11th Circuit cases, after he made all these derogatory remarks so they could be used against me in my New York case. 3 days later, he changed his mind and issued that he had no jurisdiction. But he went on the record and gave a half-hour reasons of why I was a bad person. And he only did it when he knew he didn't have jurisdiction because he wanted to make sure they could use it against me in New York.
Right, right.
That's the only reason he did it.
Oh, and he's doing this so that when I go back to the lower court, that he'll have, you know, cremated me here.
I'm telling you what you have to do. I wouldn't waste any time.
I'm on.
Get your friend Kevin to write up the motions for you.
Yep.
He'll either say yes or no. I don't know if you have to prove that you don't have fund money for funds.
We don't.
Well, just saying we don't.
Yeah.
It's not evidence.
No, I know. They usually ask us for an inform a paupery sheet or something.
So therefore, you might have to file a sworn affidavit saying we have no funds for lawyers.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
And if you don't do it all properly, and he rules against you, then you got a problem. Then you got to start all over again.
Yep. Well, Kevin's pretty meticulous.
Make sure you do it.
I will.
Make sure you do it the right way.
I got it. Well, I'll send you a copy, too, before we file.
Not put anything with my name on it when you forward to Kevin, I'm telling you, or anyone else.
Okay.
Because if you do, I'll never talk to you again. I'm telling you right off the bat.
Okay.
You take my name off everything.
Got it. Should I put some other name on your email address and stuff?
You don't have to put any name on it. Just send it as if it's coming from you.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
First send it to yourself, remove my name, then when my name's removed, then send it to somebody else.
Got it.
I'm telling you, it would be a mistake for you to have my name associated with anything with Kimball.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Because I'm not done with Kimball yet.
Oh, good. Well, I'm here for the ride.
He has no jurisdiction over me.
Yeah, that makes you a little bit more wild, doesn't it?
But if you give him reason to say that I'm practicing law somehow,
yeah,
and he files a complaint, then I have a problem.
Right. Exactly. I got it.
All right, I gotta go.
Okay, thanks, my friend.
You need to file those things this week.
I will. Call me when you get down here.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.